Joining us now is Justin Adams. Follow him at Justin Adams TV, of course. And Justin gets to, we get an opportunity to talk to him a day earlier. Sometimes get to talk to him after Thursday Night Football. And now we can talk to him about this. And Justin, when you look at this Saints team under Taysom Hill, I get that immediately people want to say the comparison to Tim Tebow, and I do understand it. But this guy isn't Tebow. He went 18 for 23 in their win against the Falcons last week.
Yeah, he was efficient. I've never had a game where Tim Tebow was efficient. Just to be honest, there wasn't one game where he was that way. I'm still remembering the Tebow that had two passes against Kansas City, went 2 for 8. And won that game there because of one deep pass to Eric Decker. And even the game that he had in the playoffs against Pittsburgh where Tebow threw for over 300 yards, well, a lot of those were long passes that were completed to Demaryius Thomas at the time. That's completely different with Taysom Hill. Very efficient passer last week against the Falcons, 18 of 23. But also the other thing, too, is he definitely could get himself out the pocket, and he has no problem throwing deep either. So, yeah, a lot of things. The Broncos would definitely have their hands full this week going up against Taysom Hill.
Any guy like Hill, you know, like you said, you're not really worried about him dissecting you like a Drew Brees might if you give him too much time. Obviously, he does move around a lot, but that causes a lot of different challenges. If he had gone something like, you know, like you discussed there, 7 for 19 passing, I think we'd have a different discussion. But he did prove that he's going to hit the open man. He's going to be efficient. He's going to be effective. But he's obviously mobile. The Broncos have had moments where they've really done well getting after the quarterback. Sunday was one of them. And the 2 weeks prior to that, they really couldn't get anything done against the quarterback. Looking at the way the Broncos have rushed the passer, what do they need to do differently with someone like Taysom Hill?
Well, you have to go unconfused coverages-wise, number one. It all starts on the back end before you get to the front end, right? So you finally have Bryce Callahan back. AJ Bouye is back, right? So you have those different guys who are there, you know, Kareem Jackson as well as Justin Simmons. The first thing you have to do against the Saints is make sure you mix up your coverages, because when it gets to third down, there's two guys that you're going to look to. You're going to look to Marcus Thomas, or you're going to go the other way to Alvin Kamara. Like, you can't really go wrong with any of those guys. So you got to make sure that you do something on the back end to at least make Taysom Hill think that extra second, or to have those happy feet and try to run a little bit. Yeah, he's an athletic guy, so you want to use that to his disadvantage a little bit from there. If you could be able to mix him up, not only will you force him into turnovers, but you'll also get the offense off the field as well, which will help out the Broncos a lot this week.
Yeah, and this is such an interesting game for the Broncos, because it follows probably, I think, the best offensive performance of the year. And that sounds really strange when you only score 20 points. But we finally saw a situation in which Melvin Gordon was added to the team in the offseason, trying to figure out how it was going to work. In this game, splits carries almost evenly with Phillip Lindsay, only one different, and it keeps the pressure off Drew Lock to do too much. What did you see in this particular game that you liked, and was there something that you were concerned about?
Well, I was concerned about on the third play of the game, you saw Drew Lock throw an interception. I was very concerned about that. And, you know, the first two drives, he just didn't look good. But finally, Pat Shurmur went down and said, wait a minute, let's run the football. So they started running off tackle, started pulling everybody. I mean, Garrett Bowles going from the left side of the line and finishing on the right side. I know everyone can think immediately to their mind about that one play where he knocked over the cornerback and pancaked him. You know, we all think about those plays. But that's what worked for the Broncos last week with doing different things like that. Here's the issue this week, though, Sean. You're facing the number two run defense in the NFL in New Orleans this week. They only give up 74 yards a game on the ground. So the Broncos have to come to a decision this week. Are they going to stay patient with the run like they did last week against the Dolphins, which really helped out Drew Lock? Or are they going to put the game back on his shoulders again and say, hey, figure out a way how to do that? That's not the way they're going to win this game. Sean, check this out. You know, doing research on this game and everything. The Saints have only given up 100 yards on the ground to two teams, one to the Raiders and the other one to the Chargers. The Chargers went to overtime against the Saints, lost the game, but they took them to overtime, and then the Raiders really pummeled them. They beat them on Monday Night Football. That's the same thing that the Broncos have to do this week. They need to stay dedicated to the run game, run the football, mix it up like you did last week, and then make it easier for Drew Lock to complete passes down the field.
That's one of the things that I thought was really fascinating, that we're, let's face it, we're aware of this, but it feels weird. The Broncos almost seem surprised at times that they were able to get the passing lanes they were, given the fact that they run. Well, I mean, this is why you run, but for Drew Lock, he almost looked like a different guy at times because there were so many open receivers. Why did it take the Broncos so long to realize that committing to the run was going to give them an opportunity to make life that much easier for Drew Lock, not only on the fact that games were going to be closer, but due to the fact that he was going to have more open receivers to throw to?
You know, Sean, as a kid, you know, growing up, there used to be a little cartoon where there was the owl, and I think it was like a blow pop, right? And so, how many licks does it get to the center of the blow pop or whatever? And right. At the end, he said, the world may never know. That's my response to that. The world may never know why it took so long for you to realize that you're a running team first and a passing team second. It makes things so much easier for your second-year quarterback to not have, I don't know, eight guys looking back at you or a team sending out an all-out blitz and you're immediately throwing the ball off your back foot. You know, those are the things you have to do as an offensive coordinator. Say, we're going to dedicate ourselves to the run. We're going to give our quarterback the opportunity to have better passing looks for him where he doesn't, you know, he'll have more single-man coverage. He'll have more easier completions that he have. I mean, you know, there were several passes he had to Tim Patrick where he was just wide open. Several different bootlegs that he had going out to the right as well, hitting, you know, Vinette and also hitting Noah Fant. So those are the things you have to do to get Drew Lock comfortable. But again, it starts with staying dedicated to the run game. And, you know, look, we talk about this every week. Every time I jump on, I talk about that because I saw it immediately. That's the way that this team is going to win. You protect your quarterback with a good running game and then let him do his thing later on.
When you look at this situation for Lock, how it got better, how he's gotten better, here's my question. When I take a look at Drew Lock's performances, I see a ton of ability. But here's the one thing I worry about, and I want you to let me know if I'm missing something. I see a guy that too often simply can't get the ball to where he wants to get the ball. He missed two passes that would have been a touchdown, one to Fumagalli, and then another one, of course, to Hamler down the sideline where he was open. Many other quarterbacks end up making those throws, and Drew Lock with open guys is missing them. And this part, quite frankly, is not new. Have you really seen a situation where quarterbacks have just difficult time with their accuracy that get better? And if so, how do they do it?
Well, Josh Allen is one that we could see who he's gotten better with his accuracy as, you know, his career has went on. So that's one thing that we could see from there. But this has been a bugaboo for Drew Lock since day one. I mean, let's think about the first game of the season. If you go down the sideline and you hit, Deshaun Hamilton on the go route late in the game, Broncos win that football game without a doubt, right? So that's been one of the issues that he's had. Sometimes in your mind, you can see the guy open. You know you have the ability to get the guy there. But for one reason or another, it's not connecting. And a lot of times on Drew Lock's deep balls, they don't happen. But for those passes where you have guys wide the heck open, you got to figure it out how to get there. And, you know, one of the things that Peyton Manning has done, and again, I'm not saying that Drew Lock is Peyton Manning. We all know that. But what Peyton Manning will do is over and over again, he will go over a play in practice. I remember talking to Bernie Kosar in one of the games, you know, Broncos taking on the Browns many years ago, and Peyton Manning's the quarterback. And he would always say, hey, look, he goes over these plays over and over and over again. Like, these are the things that he does. And so the same thing with Drew Lock is that you got to go over these plays until you know you have them down pat so you can hit these guys during the game because you cannot give up these opportunities, especially when guys are wide open.
We're talking with Justin Adams, CBS 4 Denver, and Justin Adams TV on Twitter. And Justin, looking forward to this game, it may end up being a very difficult time for the Broncos to get a win in this. But in a season where they're 4-6, we know that the Chiefs are coming up after this. Do the Broncos have to get a win in this game for you to feel comfortable with how they're performed? And if they don't, what would it look like?
You know, there's a couple of things I know that are going to be, blowouts this, you know, coming up. And the Kansas City game under Vic Fangio, what we've seen the Broncos do is they've been blown out. I mean, it's just the reality of it, okay? We haven't seen anything different. So the season's really riding on this game, if you look at it. I mean, any type of playoff hopes, in the hunt type of things that you want is going to ride on this football game, because I'm not going to put up an L immediately for the Kansas City game, but the fat lady's already been warming up. She's actually at the dinner table right now getting ready for Thanksgiving. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So this is an important game for the Broncos in order to get it, because, you know, you look at the rest of the schedule, sure, you have some tough games with Buffalo and, you know, you got the Raiders one more time, but this is the game that you have to get. The problem is that New Orleans has so many pieces that it's tough to find a way to say, you're going to find a way how to win this football game. I'm a little bit surprised that they're only 8-point underdogs. The Broncos are in this game, or 6-point underdogs rather, because when I look at the matchups, I don't honestly see it. It could happen. Anything can happen in the NFL, but I just don't see it. I mean, Alexander Johnson or Josie Jewell, you're going to have one of those guys guarding Alvin Kamara, especially on like 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 7. Are you kidding me? I mean, who's going to guard Marcus Thomas? And then you forget about Emmanuel Sanders as well. So, you know, this is a game where you just have to figure out a way how to put it together. The number one key for me is this. The Broncos have to stop turning over the football. They do it every game this season. We talk about that every week, too. They have to stop giving away the football. They have the most giveaways in the NFL. They have to figure out a way how to get some turnovers, get some short fields, and that's really going to help them this week if they're going to stay with New Orleans and try to beat them.
That is obviously important. When you look at Drew Locke's last 6 games, ever since he came back from his injury, he's thrown at least one interception in every single one of those games. That has to get better. I think when you look at Drew Locke, you've seen the coaching. We heard Pat Shurmur a couple weeks ago after the Falcons loss say that Drew Locke has to stay in the pocket. He has to find a way to trust it. And we've heard our lineman right here, Orlando Franklin, did a great job explaining on The Fan why it's so difficult to block for a guy that's running, because you don't necessarily know where he's going to be if he bolts from the pocket early. In the last 2 games, I've seen Drew Locke really focus on staying in that pocket and occasionally trying to step up. Does that give you a little more confidence compared with Josh Allen there, that Drew Locke can evolve and adapt and get better? Or do you see a guy that's kind of spinning his wheels?
Well, it really does, for me, show some growth and maturity in his game. But at the same time, the proof's in the pudding. Like, you have to go and have a game where, sure, you step up in the pocket, but you make things work. You get the ball downfield. You have a higher completion percentage than you have right now, right? Those are the things that I want to see from him. I think one thing, actually, from Derek Carr that I saw last week, there was one play against the Chiefs where literally there is mayhem all over him, and he's just calm, stepping up in the pocket, keeps his eyes downfield, then he delivers the pass. We also know that there are times where you do need to go and get outside the pocket. You do need to have that clock inside your head, feel the pressure, and get outside, but you have to, number one, step up in a pocket and deliver the football right where it needs to be. And that's where Drew Locke needs to be, especially this week where you're taking on an elite defense. You don't have time to mess around. You got to make sure you make plays out there.
He is Justin Adams. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And, of course, catch him right here at CBS 4 in Denver. Have a wonderful, safe, and happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Enjoy the football. I hope you have a healthy holiday, and looking forward to catching you next week.
You too, my friend. And by the way, the next time that we talk, the Bucs are going to be 3-0. I'm just going to put it out there.
I believe. Carl Durrell's doing a great job out there. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, yeah. If that happens, you and I are talking about that too next week.
Woo! Can't wait. All right.
Take care. Happy Thanksgiving, Justin. Justin Adams, CBS 4 Denver. Make sure you check him out. I thought about it. I thought about getting into it, but I don't want to jinx anything. 2-0 behind Carl Durrell, their new head coach, and looking pretty good. But the offense for the Saints, sort of same old, right? It's not Drew Brees. It's not Drew Brees in charge of it. It's Taysom Hill. But a team that didn't have any issue scoring points against the Falcons, what will they do against the Broncos? And what does this team feel about scouting out Taysom Hill? We'll talk about that next.